is Tape 3 with Louise Larson at 1205 Grant Street on August 28, 1979. Mrs. Larson, I had asked you whether your associations were mostly with Chinese or non-Chinese.
Well, in my work, it was with the Caucasians entirely. And then I also had a separate social life with Chinese at home with my family. Chinese friends.
Did you also socialize with the people whom you worked with?
Yes, somewhat. Somewhat. Mm-hmm. They had press parties and so forth that I attended. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that you were completely accepted by the non-Chinese world since you worked in that kind of environment and so forth?
Yes, I think I was. And well, newspaper work is more or less very informal. The people are different. Newspaper people are different, sort of. They don't, most of them are not formal and conservative. They're mostly quite liberal. And I felt very much at home with them. I've always felt very much at home with newspaper people, more so than I have with other most Caucasian people. It seems like they're easier to get along with, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you think that you were ever treated differently in your work as a journalist because you were Chinese, either treated either better or worse because you were Chinese in any way?
Well, I think in Chicago I was treated better because they had not known many Chinese, apparently. And they were surprised that I could even, that a Chinese person could speak, write an English sentence, even. So they were so... Almost, they were overwhelmed. They thought that I did so well. They gave me all the best assignments. So I'm sure I got treated better there because I was Chinese. I was a novelty there. I wasn't so much on the West Coast. Los Angeles and San Francisco, they had a lot of Chinese. But in Chicago, at that time at least, they didn't have so many. I know I got better treatment. Better assignments.
In the other places, you don't think you were treated any worse?
No. There was never any time in any paper that I worked for that I felt that I was discriminated against because I was Chinese. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about newspaper work, I guess, that I felt like I was always given a fair deal. On every paper that I worked for.
How many other Chinese were there in the journalism field?
Well, there was a girl called Flora Bell, and I can't even remember her last name. She worked in Fresno, I think, for a while. I don't think she was a regular reporter. I think she wrote occasionally. And there's a Chinese man who worked in the Herald, L.A. Herald Examiner, or maybe it was in the L.A. Herald Express at that time. And I can't remember his name. He was on the copy desk. I met him a couple of times. But he was a regular. He was on the staff. That was after I started. Quite a while after I started, but he got his job. And there's Charlie Leung in San Francisco. Have you heard of him? Leung. L-E-O-N-G. Charlie Leung. Well, I didn't know him. I just met him last year for the first time. But he said that he heard about me being a reporter, and he always wanted to be a reporter, so he thought, well, here's my chance. He showed me an article that he wrote up to that effect, and that's how he got started. He was encouraged by the fact that I got in to do the newspaper work, so he started. And he works in San Francisco. I don't know what papers. I think UPI. He worked for UPI. And he's still doing PR work, press agent work, I think, in San Francisco. But I don't know of any others. I'm sure that now I know there are quite a few now. Because I asked him when I was up there last year. I saw Charlie Leung and met him for the first time. said there were some in China, in San Francisco, some Chinese girls working on newspapers up there.
What prompted you to get into the journalism field in the 30s?
Well, just as I said, I felt like I had to get a job after going through college and paying my parents to all that expense. And I had taken journalism and seemed to have a flair for it, and I had these articles, so I took them and peddled them around at the newspapers. And I sold this one to the one at the Record. I sold an article that I'd written about my nephew, and that's how I got my job. But I always was interested in newspapers. I read them avidly. I always read newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
I still do. I love to listen to the news. I'm a news hound.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to the news all day long at home.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
Mm-hmm.
My children, they get so disgusted with them. Why don't you turn off that news? You listen to them
all day.
But I am. I'm really a news junkie.
Mm-hmm. How did your parents or family react about your being a journalist?
Well, they were happy that I did it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They were happy about it.
Mm-hmm. They didn't think that it wasn't the kind of thing for a woman to be doing?
Oh, no.
Running
no,
around?
No, no. No, I mean, my father was quite advanced in that way. I'm sure he was there. He never thought that way. And they were glad I had a job, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you feel more Chinese or American?
I felt more American.
Why?
Well, we had been brought up with American maids, nursemaids, and my father's patients that came there were all American. And we were just surrounded by so much American influence that I spoke English, I didn't speak any Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So I just grew up to be an American.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel sorry for being Chinese?
When I was young, I did. I felt I didn't want to be different from other people. I wanted to be the same as the other kids, and I didn't like to be called names by kids. You know, they stand on the street corner and call you chink. And Skippy and
mm-hmm.
names like that. I'd cross the street on the other side so I wouldn't have to pass.
Oh, yes.
Going to school.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have any disagreements with your family about being Chinese or American?
Well, no, not any disagreements. They would have preferred that we'd be more Chinese. They were always anxious for us to know more about China, to be proud of being Chinese. And like they wanted to send my brothers to school in China.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they wanted, although we never had any arguments about it, I'm sure they would have been happier if we had certainly learned more Chinese and been more Chinese than we were.
Mm-hmm. In these questions that I just asked you about, whether you felt more Chinese or American, would you feel sorry? Do you think you were typical of most Chinese at that time, or?
I don't know. I know there was another family that was just about like us, the Chan family, that we, the two girls, Betty and Eleanor, they were our good friends, and they were like us. They spoke only English and no Chinese. And they came from, although their father was much more, he spoke more English. He was a minister, and he spoke, so he had to give sermons in English and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were more Americanized than we were even.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the Chinese that we knew spoke Chinese. You know, they seemed to have been brought up bilingual. They could speak Chinese, and I really envied them because they speak both Chinese and English, like Bessie Liu.
Mm-hmm.
She can speak mm-hmm. Chinese very well. I don't
mm-hmm.
know how well she can write it or read it. I don't know if she does at all. But she always was able to speak Chinese, and lots of my, like Lily's husband, Peterson, who their family also speaks Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, I don't think we were typical exactly, because of course of the people, the families who lived in Chinatown, they were surrounded by Chinese all the time, and I think they all spoke Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
They grew up speaking Chinese as well as English, but they could speak English too, which is, they weren't just Chinese, they didn't just speak Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they could speak both is, I always really envied them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. They could speak both.
Uh-huh. Did you or your parents join any of the Chinese family associations in Chinatown?
No, I don't think my father belonged to, I don't know if there was a Tom Association. And I know there's a Lee Association, and perhaps a Wong, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think there was a Tom. So
or
I
he didn't
know.
Join any district associations?
No.
Or did you know?
No.
Did you join any clubs or associations in Chinatown at all?
Not in Chinatown, no.
Or any Chinese clubs?
Well, we, at USC, we belong to Chinese Students Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we, let me see, did we went to, sometimes we'd go to the Chinese church,
mm-hmm.
just for social reasons, not for religion. And for a little while, we just went once in a while, you know,
mm-hmm.
like Easter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you know people who joined the family associations amongst your friends? Were there people who talked about, you know, joining the family associations or going to family association activities?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which were the most important families in Los Angeles, and why were they important?
Well, in my day, the Lem family was very important. George Lem had a restaurant, and he was quite well known, and the restaurant was everybody enjoyed going to that restaurant, and that's
mm-hmm.
where his family, his children, they had a family orchestra, and the children would play at the restaurant. And George Lim was quite well known. I think he did insurance too, I'm not sure.
What made him well known?
Well, the fact that he had the restaurant and a lot of people came to it,
uh-huh.
and he'd had it for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were in Los Angeles before my parents came.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chans, they were a prominent family too, the ones I just mentioned, whose father was a minister. They had a large family, but the two daughters that we knew,
mm-hmm.
they were quite well known. Although they never went to China, they never had much to do with Chinatown. They never went to Chinatown very much.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Suhus were a prominent family too. My brother-in-law, Lily's husband, they lived in Chinatown. They had a big family.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, I think he had a store. He was blind.
Mm-hmm.
And they were quite prominent, especially when, because Peter became very, he was, I guess, one of the most prominent young men. He was very active.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mrs. Lawson, are there any other families that you'd like to mention as far as being prominent here in L.A.?
Well, I'm sure there were, but I don't even, none that we were very close to. Well, there was George Chan, there was Dr. George Chan. He's another Chan, not
mm-hmm.
related to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
His son George, and John.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all, Dr. Chan was also an herbalist,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. Are there any particular individuals whom you would consider to have been prominent Chinese in L.A. before World War II?
Mm.
Would it be the same?
Yes,
from
the same
families,
yeah,
that you
so
named?
Like Peter.
Yeah.
Peter Suhu really was the most prominent one I knew.
Right. Okay. What kinds of jobs were most Chinese engaged in before the war?
Before World War II?
Right.
Well, It seemed like when I, it was very difficult for Chinese to get jobs other than really, even college graduates had a hard time getting a job. They'd have to take menial jobs as waiters and working in restaurants and things like that, you know. It was really difficult for them to get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And although I guess there were teachers,
mm-hmm.
there were some teachers.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there was discrimination against Chinese here in L.A. before the war?
I think there was. There was, definitely. Against all Orientals.
Uh-huh. Do you know of any cases of it? Or did you face any of it yourself?
Well, in the way of socially, I suppose, we did, because we felt like, for example, in college, we never felt that we'd ever be asked to join a sorority or fraternity, American. In fact, the Chinese, I guess, they finally formed their own fraternity. And things of that sort, you know. And we never went to the American dances, the proms.
Mm-hmm.
We just never went. We felt we'd be out of place there.
Mm-hmm.
And
you didn't feel discriminated against as far as looking for jobs, did you?
Well, I didn't, because I was very fortunate, and I found a job almost immediately and what I wanted to do, so I wasn't around looking for a job very long. But I suppose if I hadn't had been just very lucky,
mm-hmm.
I probably might have had trouble finding a job,
mm-hmm.
especially because I didn't want to teach. And
okay.
But there was discrimination. I remember that even the dance halls. I went with a friend, a young man, took me to a dance hall in Ocean Park, and they wouldn't sell us tickets. You know, he was so embarrassed. I was so angry, and he was just terribly embarrassed, because they said, "We don't sell tickets to you." You know, they wouldn't let us. It was just a cheap old dance hall.
In L.A. here?
No, in Ocean Park.
Oh, Ocean Park.
Yeah. The ocean, some dance hall in Ocean Park. We were at the beach and we wanted to go dancing.
And what are we talking about, the 1930s?
That was about, I was working then. Yes, about the 19, well, earlier than that, about 1927 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I remember at USC, too, the Chinese, when my brother was going, they discriminated the boys. They didn't want any Chinese in the band,
mm-hmm.
to join the band, but they wanted to join the band. And they were told that they weren't wanted.
Did the Chinese ever make any fuss at all, or protest, or argue with people who were told that, the people who told them that the Chinese weren't welcome?
I think that in this instance of the band, I think my brother and some of his friends went to the von Kleinsmith. I think they went to him and told him about it, protested. I don't know whether they finally got into the band or not. I can't remember. I think maybe they did. But I know I think they protested that.
Mm-hmm.
But so far as like this time when we had the dance hall, we just turned away. I would have felt like saying something, but this man I was with, he was so embarrassed he couldn't bear to face it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you consider would have been an average income before the war?
Oh, goodness, before the war. Well, I thought that if anybody made $200 a month, that was a very good income.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a good income.
So do you think maybe $100 a month was an average, or?
Well, maybe 150 or something like that. Depends
mm-hmm.
on what kind of job, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the job, but
mm-hmm.
Even in newspaper work, if you got $200 a month, then you were doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how did it? This monthly salary compare with expenses at that time, food, rent, medical?
Oh, well, everything was much lower. That's the reason why you were able to get along. You know, you could get along on it, but if you didn't have the inflated prices we have now, you could get going to the store, sometimes you could get carrots for a penny a bunch, you know. Spinach 5 cents a bunch, and things were much cheaper. Everything was cheaper. Rents were cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
$20 a month or something for a rent for a house.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was lower, just like it. Like in China now, you know, you live on a small salary, but then so are the prices low.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Did most Chinese like to live near other Chinese, do you think? Is that a important consideration as far as where they would live?
Not so far as my family was concerned, but I guess a lot of people, you know, people who lived in Chinatown, they would like to be with their own family country, and they would live there. But there were a lot of Chinese scattered all over Los Angeles that didn't live, you know, next to Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there were Chinese who would move if the neighborhood changed in order to stay together with Chinese?
Well, you mean stay out of Chinatown? Because that was the only place where there would be a lot of Chinese would be Chinatown.
Yeah.
Although now, of course, there are different places like Monterey Park where there are a lot of Chinese. Now it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, I think Chinatown was about the only place where there were a lot of
Chinese. Yeah. Okay. What do you think most people did with the money that they saved? Do you think they gambled it away or sent it back to China or put it in a bank or spent it on themselves, on all kinds of luxuries, or
Well, I know in my family, my dad, he spent a lot of money on good living because he loved to live high on the hogs, as they say.
Uh-huh.
He liked to go to good restaurants, and he liked good clothes. He liked to eat well, have the best wine and the best food. And he would save his money. He sent money to China, too, I know. He sent money to his family. I'm pretty sure of that. And he never gambled. That's one thing my dad never gambled. I guess some Chinese did. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. I only really know how my own family spent their money. But that's, my dad would always, he never, I guess when he died, there wasn't very much left because he hadn't been able to work too as well, you know, in the last 2 years, so there were no savings,
mm-hmm.
no savings at all. But he always believed in buying everything on cash, paying cash. He paid $5,000 cash for our first car. It was an old Peerless car. And he would believe in paying cash for everything so that, maybe he didn't have that much to save, but I know he did put his money in the bank.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he would send money back to China, too?
Yeah, he sent money back to China, too. And he was very generous giving money to students, and, you know, he was very, very generous. And, of course, he made some bad investments, too.
Like
really,
what?
Well, I can't remember exactly, something that my mother and he had a really bad quarrel about. He invested, and she didn't want him to invest in it. Did, and he got rooked because he didn't get a written contract, you know, and the money was owed to him. I forget what this was. Fisheries or something, anyway, and something that I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a substantial amount that he invested in it, and he lost it all because he didn't have any written contract.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother didn't want him to do that. Mm-hmm. To invest that money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you know of any Chinese who were involved in politics in China?
In China?
Right.
Politics. No one except Kang Youwei.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did many Chinese feel they had obligations in China? If they had family or relatives, you think they all felt obligated to them in one way or another?
Yes, I think so. You know, if they were making money. But I know my mother would say sometimes that some of those in China were always asking for money, always sending and asking for money, my mother would say. And they're always, the relatives would be dunning them for money all the time. Whether they thought you were very wealthy and had a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
She she met remark and commented on that, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Were the Chinese in LA affected by the Depression?
Oh, yes, yes, just like everybody else, very much so.
Your family was
yes, our family
too,
certainly
right.
was, because my family, my father died then, and we were really at low ebb.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't have jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but do you think the Chinese had a harder time than any of the others due to, I suppose, discrimination and finding
probably
jobs?
Probably so, because if there were jobs, or the white people would get the jobs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you consider the Chinese to have done better or worse than the general population of LA?
In what way?
In any way.
In
I suppose
business?
In business, yes, socially, economically.
Before World War II, or now, or when?
People that you knew before World War II, and then comparing them with where they are now. Chinese people and other people that you knew before World War II. Just on a general basis.
You mean comparing them with how well they did with Americans?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure it was because of discrimination with Americans. We probably do better on the whole, you know. There are always individual cases, but I think on the whole the Americans would do better because of the fact there was certainly undoubtedly discrimination.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the Chinese might have done better than other minorities?
Yes, I think they probably did better than blacks. I don't know about Japanese.
Yeah,
probably about the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you ever heard people compare Chinese people with Jewish people?
With Jewish people?
Uh-huh.
No.
In any way, as far as doing business or being smart or aggressive or?
No, I never have.
Do you think many American born Chinese married American-born Chinese? Did many Chinese men prefer to go back to China to marry women from China?
You mean American-born?
Right.
No, the American-born would prefer to marry American-born Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Because rather than, I don't know of anybody who would prefer to go to China.
Mm-hmm.
At least none of my friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did many parents feel it was important for their children to attend Chinese school?
Oh, yes, yes.
Your parents did.
My parents did, and I think most parents did. They wanted their children to learn Chinese.
Did you feel it was important for your children to attend Chinese school?
My children?
Yes.
No, I didn't, because
any
particular? My daughter took it up on her own.
Uh-huh.
An Owen officer of bank will negotiate a contract with you. Well, before incorporation, we're promoters. Before we get incorporated, negotiated with Duke a building contract to remodel a downtown building as offices for combat. Work to begin immediately. So no incorporation, pre-incorporation before the work. And be completed within 9 months. And no problem as far as the contract. The issue is how did O sign? Duke insisted that Banco's name be on the contract. O signed it, Banco by O, and remember he's an officer of Banco, on behalf of Combank, a corporation to be formed. So the issue is the liability as far as Duke is concerned, or liability as far as Banco under the circumstances that follow. 1 week later, Banco is duly incorporated. And in some jurisdictions, the incorporation itself may be sufficient ratification, but that's a very minority theory. Banco purchased the entire authorized 100,000 shares of ratification. Implied ratification in two ways. When they move in, ComBank has impliedly ratified the contract. Secondly, Duke, in allowing them to move in, has impliedly agreed.